Hello, welcome back to the GST podcast, and today we've got a very special interview indeed. Earlier I spoke to Tomasz Lorek. He's a commentator for Polsat Sports TV, a TV network in Poland. He's been covering the Asia Swing, Antwerp, Vienna, Basel, and we spoke to him all about it, starting with Team's run in Vienna.
You always think that the guy has a fantastic mentality and killer instinct, which he's pretty sensitive. He loves animals. Like, he was so ashamed of what happened in Chengdu. He's always very interested to watch other stuff. Of course, when you play tennis at professional level, you mainly focus on your practice, on travels, and what you do on practice courts, and then how to prepare a perfect strategy to beat every single opponent. But with Dominic Thiem, he's a great player, 2 times Grand Slam runner-up at Roland Garros, clay court specialist, but not only. He played fantastic game in Beijing, but in Austria there's a very funny subject, because he started to step up the ladder in 2010, and he lost qualifying event. Next year he beat Thomas Muster, the biggest legend ever happened in Austrian tennis, the former Roland Garros champion. And for so many years, the quarterfinal was the pinnacle of what he can achieve. And this year, Gisby Hill on clay court, he won it after so many years of trying. Mm-hmm. And indoor event in Vienna with a huge history, Vitas Gerulaitis, a fabulous American with Lithuanian roots, was the first time winner in 74. Then so many great that's a one like Makarov or Sampras or even Ivanisevic. He had to jump over the goal of man. With his skills, unbelievable one hand, and he couldn't just afford to win the title in Vienna. And that's why he understood that something possibly is wrong. Even after winning China Open in Beijing against Tsitsipas, he mentioned, For the caliber of myself, of the player from top 10, I need to perform far more better than I did this year. Only the runner-up and Roland Garros, all the other slams, were below par, below his expectations. Suddenly, he played fabulous game against Berrettini in Vienna in the semifinal, come from set down, and in the final, everyone was thinking that he's under huge pressure. We know from World of Music, like Under Pressure with David Bowie and Freddie Mercury, it was a great hit. But Finn, let me think about one thing. Thomas Muster was in the VIP area yesterday in Vienna. Herbert Straka, the tournament director, everyone was looking at him like, you have to win it. But Diego Schwartzman is one of these boys from Argentina where parents didn't have the money to fund him the proper level of playing when he was a junior, so he only played futures when he was a really young guy. But Schwartzman played so smartly against Thiem. First set, he tried everything, but Schwartzman was just too good for Thiem. And the second set, at 4-all, he broke Argentinian, and that's the perfect scenario for the public. It was like Davis Cup atmosphere, rowdy crowds, and, you know, people were partly linesmen or chair umpire, you know, they were shouting during the race. So this was a really incredible event, and I think one of the best. Thomas Muster said afterward, this was the best final he ever witnessed in Vienna. Wow. And he watched so many. He played 3 times, he lost all of them, ironically. but Thiem suddenly, after so many years of trying, this year he won Gisby Hill clay court and the other Austrian tournament, Vienna indoor. So how lucky he must feel right now.
Yeah, and just Schwartzman, as we all saw at the US Open when he played Zverev, if you're feeling nervous, Schwartzman is the worst player to play, isn't he? If you're under pressure, because he just doesn't give you anything, does he? He's such a smart player.
Give an inch of a court.
No. So what did you think Thiem did differently this week? Because whenever I've watched him this year, he's looked really defensive and passive, and players have sometimes found it quite easy just to dominate play. Do you think he changed that a bit this week?
I think his attitude, you're right, Finn. Dominic Thiem's attitude was totally different than usual. I think the public have helped him so much, no doubt about that. Plus the first round win against Tsonga, who's a very good player still, despite he's 35 in the rankings right now, but still Tsonga is the player who can fret anybody on a special day. And he beat him in straight sets in the first round. But I think Nicolas Alejandro Massu, a former star of Chilean tennis, he brought some new fresh air and some ideas for Thiem. Because Thiem, even if he's like first set against Schwartzman, he was losing every single rally. And he was so nervous, especially first serve wasn't producing so many aces. But I think he's far more creative right now than when he was with Gallo Blanco and Ginter Breznik. Of course, they did a fantastic platform for himself to step up the ladder and to perform better. But I think he needed a new guy in his team, and Nicolas Massu. I know it's crazy, you know, Chilean, Latin American guy, former Olympic champion in doubles and singles, is having an European bloke from Austria. But possibly sometimes it works when you have different characters on the bench in your box, player's box, and the other guy on the more explosive on the court.
Yeah, an unexpected combination, but it's going well at the moment. And just a word on Federer quickly as well, because he was devastating in the last two rounds of Basel. I mean, well, he destroyed was it Albot's 3 in love. And then
Peter Goyovchik in the first round, yeah.
Right, yeah. And then obviously Tsitsipas 6-4, 6-4, and then Dimonor 6-2, 6-2 in the final. How good was Federer?
Yeah, that's a fabulous story about being a ball boy as a teenager and then win tournament in his hometown. Is that shows the genius. I think Jimmy Connors was the other guy who was so playing so great, obviously different style, different tennis than Federer is performing, but you can hardly imagine the guy being 38 years old and still being on top of that's the big difference between being an artist and being a bloody good player. We've seen Federer at a Davis Cup in Lille 2014 when he played with Wawrinka, and he was having a great amount of advice from David McPherson from Tassie, from an Australian double specialist who worked with Brian Burgers and John Isner. And I think that shows the incredible amount of being humble from Federer's side. Like, why on earth you would ask David McPherson, Tassie player, from Launceston, from Lonnie, to give him some schemes to play doubles and signals and stuff like that for Cup Final against even being an artist or a genius, which he undoubtedly is, that only shows that you can always learn every single day. Like the Socrates Greek philosophy, you can learn every single day. Mm. Not like you know, that's what the ancient people used to say. But still, Federer, being 38 years old, remember that this year after a incredible final against Djokovic. So even if not, he was still a testament how great he was. And I think Demi Nord, this is the brightest thing about Basel, Swissendorf, because the other Aussie fella who was in the final was Mark Philippoussis in 97. He lost to Greg Rusedski, a fabulous British player, a Canadian, Ukrainian descended British player.
Yeah.
So Philippoussis, then so many years of waiting at Hewitt in the semifinals, but nobody was so good to come up to be runner-ups. Demi Nord, I think he's the brightest guy. And that's another thing, Finn, with him. See, Nick Kyrgios, I think the talent Kyrgios has is even better than Federer. He's got it. Considering his hand, his skills, his feeling of the game, but for some reason, Kyrgios doesn't bring the successes he should bring. Possibly because he's an artist too, and he doesn't know how to capitalize on his huge talent, natural talent. But Demi Nord, hard worker, fantastic runner, you know, he he moved the way he went against Taylor Fritz. Taylor Fritz smashed Alexander Zverev in Basel. Basel was funny because Zverev is trying to be among 8 top players and qualify for NATO finals in London. What is amazing, Zverev first round, seeded number 2 player in Basel, and he's leading 4-0 in a tiebreaker. He lost at 7-9 against Taylor Fritz. Taylor Fritz's next round is beaten by Carlos de Minaur. So that shows how prepared you have to be these days to be
in the first round of a 250 to get Taylor Fritz and be in that position, right? But Zverev was thinking, yeah, here we go. Oh, this is going to be a nice week. I'll be fine. I'll get semis and I'll have some points on the board.
So I presume Lendl was fabulous in terms of preparing the player, even if it was Andy Murray. But with Zverev, when Zverev was under his tutorship, he was mentoring, he was coaching Zverev. I think Lendl prepared him perfectly to against battle with Djokovic last year at the final. And now I think when he's feeling the thing like Berrettini or Bautista Agut or Gauffin or Schwartzman even is still in the chase on pursuing the final remaining spots for NATO finals. I think he was under pressure, and to lose the first round match at Basel 500 ATP tournament against Fritz must be a huge surprise package for the others.
So do you think Shanghai was a bit of a an anomaly for Zverev, because we were all talking about how well he played against Federer and how good he looked that week. Do you think there's still problems there, fundamental problems with his game at the moment?
Yeah, I think, well, he's an incredible talent. Of course, Grand Slams still don't look like they should look, considering his, well, the time he spent with his father, he was a great player in the Soviet Union. His mom also knows everything about tennis. Plus, he had Juan Carlos Ferreira from July 2017 as a coach. He worked with top fitness guys from Andy Murray's camp. So now trying to be with his father. Possibly he's trying to find the perfect grip. But even swing, possibly he was so much different thing to play. Maybe he used so much energy during the Asian swing, so indoor tournaments, jet lag and everything. I can presume Sasha Zverev will be a different player in Paris indoor tournament this week, because of he knows that he has a bit of a gap over Berrettini and the other blokes chasing his place. But I guess he will be much far better prepared for Paris to qualify for NATO finals.
I wanted to ask you as well, actually, about the Paris Masters. So you've been covering a lot of the Asia swing and the tournaments in Europe the last week or two. Who do you back to win the Paris Masters? And who do you think might cause us a bit of a surprise? Who do you think's the dark horse?
I think Medvedev will be a huge threat for top boys. Daniil Medvedev has made phenomenal progress. I do remember when I was covering Davis Cup final years ago in Moscow 2006, Argentina played away with Russia. And Shamil Torpishev, to many people, he's a guru of Russian and Soviet Union tennis. And he mentioned at the press conference after the official draw, having Safin, Tursunov, Davidenko, usually he said, this is the last great generation of Russian players. Our school of talent has been demolished and we're not going to have great players. Suddenly, after 12 years after his quotation, after his statement, Russian tennis on men's side, they've got three brilliant talents, Medvedev, Khachanov, and Rublev. Rublev won the indoor tournaments in Moscow, Kremlin Cup this month. So I think possibly the direction the young Russian players took was to practice abroad, which is great for them. As you know, Fernando Vicente works with Rublev, and Gilles Cervera works with Medvedev. So they always try to find some way of preparing to play on top of a game with foreign coaches. But I think Medvedev, the mentality he's having, he may be a huge threat. Like Khachanov last year won first seed of Paris indoor tournament against Djokovic, which was a huge sensation. And I think Lucha found the tree, the trophy, which is delivered to every singles winner each year. I think this is going to be a special gift for Medvedev. Medvedev will be even better, I guess, and need to play to the finals in London. That's my point of view. I know Rafa and Djokovic will play for the world number one spot to be top of the world at the end of the season, but I think Medvedev, especially what he showed at US Open and then Shanghai playing Zverev in the final, then Medvedev is the one to watch.
Yeah. And how do you think your very own Hubert Hurkacz will get on? He's in the draw. I forget who he's playing actually in the first round, but
Cilic. He's playing Cilic. Cilic.
Yeah. I mean, any other year that would be an incredibly hard draw, but he might have a chance, right?
Yeah, I think Poland has been waiting for some. Look at this. We started thing with Dominic Thiem. Yeah? Dominic Thiem is the only Austrian player in 100. Mm. The other guy is 124. Denis Novak. Poland is lucky enough to have two guys in top 100. Mike Schreck is 91. Hurkacz is about 35, 36. I think Hurkacz is happy enough with this season when he won a set against Djokovic at Wimbledon, third round. This was a fantastic performance, a massive match for Paul at the Grand Slam level. Plus, he won Winston-Salem, the first ever Polish winner since Wojciech Fibak in the 80s. He won Chicago. So many years, Paul have been waiting for an ATP singles tour winner. We could double specialists like Kubert, Furstenberg, Matkowski, but we never had the good guy. Pjanovic, yeah, but he's injured and he's now a daddy. He's having a child, so different perspective. He wants to be back, but there's a slight chance Pjanovic will be back among top players on the planet, possibly because of his knee problems, injuries, and his knee is just. The doctors don't think he will be back on top level in the men's game. So Hurkacz is. I think Craig Brighton, who, as you know, was working with Jim Cooper, with Marty Fish, with Steve Johnson. So I think Hurkacz is having. He would love to be seated at the Aussie Open, but even if not, what he did this year was a huge impact on his skills. And I think he's a slow. Someone said on the tour to myself, he's a silent assassin. So that's a perfect thing to describe him. He doesn't say when he won against Nishikori or team, he doesn't show off like Shapovalov, another great player from Canada. He never showed huge emotions, and he's a silent assassin. That's a perfect way to explain what he does in court.
Yeah, he you're right. He doesn't show any emotion, does he? And he plays the same all the time, doesn't he? No matter what point in the match, he has this amazing kind of swashbuckling, like he's sliding all over the place. He's really good fun to watch. He's really good fun.
You know, the funny thing is Polish people are very impulsive and spontaneous, and everyone expects him to be, why on earth he doesn't show off, like, you know, if you dress. But then I would say Andy Murray, when he was playing in his teens, Wimbledon, he always said, I wasn't clever enough not to show off. Like, every single point he won in a very explosive way, he wanted to jump over the net or do some heroics and some, you know, artistic impressions. But that ruins your energy, you know, because that at the end of a game, you can feel like your tank is empty. So possibly Hurkacz, with the way he's behaving, he's too smart to. But that's his nature. You talk to his father, and he's very analytical. You know, he talks every single point. He doesn't show up emotions. So he's like father, like son. I think that's the thing. His father is also a very calm person. You know, very silent guy. So I think that Hubert has something brought with the genes from his daddy.
And just a quick word on Lukasz Kubot. Him and Melo are confirmed for London. They're second in the race. Because there's this weird situation, isn't there, in the doubles where Cabal and Farah are just miles ahead of everyone else. But Kubot and Melo, even though they've not had a great year, only one title this year in Winston-Salem, not as good as last year anyway, they're in. Tell us a bit more about them and about Lucas Kubot, I guess. He's getting on now, isn't he? He's 37, but he's still a magnificent player.
He's the most, I tell you what, he's the Cabal and Farah. You mentioned great Colombian pair from Colsanitas. They know each other from being young kids.
Yeah.
But they won Wimbledon in a fantastic... I think this was the best final ever I've ever had a commentary on, with against Maillet and Roger Vosselin, the French magicians. Five-setter, great game. Then US Open, another Grand Slam. So they miles away, as you said, from far away from the opposition, from Kravis Mees, from Rajiv Ram, Michael Venus. But Kubot is totally, I wouldn't say he's a Polish guy in terms of his energy and the way he speaks, the way he thinks about, because he lives and practices in Prague, in Czech Republic. He speaks fluent Czech language. His father was a football player years ago. And even when his father was close to retirement, he signed a contract with Austrian football club because he knew that Fischer company, who produced tennis rackets, is sponsoring the football club where he's going to play. So he did that for his son, you know. that's a funny story. Plus, when Lucas was a young guy, he had an offer to come to John Newcomb Academy in Texas. But as you can imagine, in the communist under regime in Poland, nobody can have any chance to fly and pay money for education, tennis skills in America. So Lucas' father, because he played an average level in Polish football league, who was far away from, you know, Diego Maradona or Pele or David Beckham. But never mind. He had good mates and good relationship with Andrew Sharmach, former medalist at the World Cup in soccer.
Yeah.
So he simply found him and he said, "Can you borrow some money? Because my son is trying to have an apprenticeship in at John Newcomb's Academy." And Andrew Sharmach was generous enough. He said, "Okay, how much do you need?" And he just borrow him money. When Lucas will be on top of a game, I'm sure he will say thank you or whatever. That's the story. And in Prague, you know why? Because in Poland, still, we don't have any... Agar Radwańska was runner-up at Wimbledon 2012, but we don't have any grass courts. How on earth Kubot is winning the Grand Slam at Wimbledon on grass without any grass court in Poland? So he has a very small, cozy flat in Prague. He practices with top Czech players in doubles and singles because Czech facilities are far more better, I think the best in our region of Central Europe or Eastern Europe. So Kubot was so determined, and he obliged himself to learn Czech language both in speech and in writing. And he has fabulous coach from Czech Republic, Jan Stoches from Liberec. He formerly worked with Ricardo Berankis years ago, or Rainer Schiedler, or Jens Lund. And Kubot really appreciates the time he spends with Czech coaches, and also the time he spent with Swedish guys like Thomas Enqvist or Jonas Björkman years ago. That was fabulous for him. And I think Kubot would love to spend Magic Week in London with Marcelo. He started with Horacio Savasas, the Argentinian, the lefty player, and he wanted to Melo to be as quick as he can on tennis court because Melo had an operation. So I think the combination Melo and Kubot, a few purists would disagree, but I think they still have something to offer.
Mm.
I think London will be a terrific tournament for them.
Yeah. Yeah, they are both very different players, aren't they? Melo gives the kind of the brawn, I guess. And then Kubot, he's obviously had a good singles career as well, right? And he had a good run at Wimbledon, didn't he? 5 or 6 years ago, maybe. We're going back a bit.
Feliciano Lopez, 5-7,
yeah. Yeah,
that's 5-7, but if he would have won it, he would play Andy Murray next round. So.
Oh.
But he was 41 at his highest singles ranking was 41. So.
Wow.
Really. So he plays serve volley always. Lucas was a serve volley player.
Mm. Well, Thomas, anyway, I must let you go because I know you're in a rush this morning, but I could listen to you speak about tennis all day. It's been fantastic to have you on. And we must do this again soon. What have you got on this week?
We're doing Paris Indoor Tournament.
Fantastic.
And I think we can talk next week before the next gen finals in Milan.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
And this is going to be interesting. Kacmanovic, there's no Felix Realizim because he's injured left ankle in Vienna during practice.
Oh.
No, it's the past. But you've got Umberg, you've got Kacmanovic, Kasper Ruud from Norway, Shapovalov, Alex de Minaur. So, good thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, really fascinating field. Well, thank you, Thomas. Anyway, enjoy Paris and
yes.
Really look forward to speaking to you next week.
Oh, your pleasure.